Tonight I am calling for the abolition of NPHID, the National Public Health Advisory Team. And the reason why I'm calling for their abolition is that I believe they have given very poor advice, very flawed advice to the government, and that has adversely affected people's health. It has impacted on people's health in a very, very negative way. Let me explain. One of the chief things that NPHID advised was to lock the country down. But was never a cost-benefit analysis done in doing so. The consequences of such a move were never examined in any detail. Instead, they were implemented in a hurry and without any form of due process. And the results are fairly obvious. For example, all the delayed cancer diagnoses and the missed cancer diagnoses because of the suspension of screening services and because of the reluctance of GPs to refer people with symptoms in for hospital consultation. For example, in the month of May last year, there was over a 70% decrease in e-referrals from GPs for pigmented skin lesions. And again, 50 to 60% for prostate and breast cancer. So in other words, many, many misdiagnoses, many, many delayed diagnoses that could easily have been anticipated, but it wasn't. The advice was miserably poor. Also, mental health advice. There have been many, many suicides and many, many unfortunate episodes of adverse mental health incidents. And again, the reason is simple. People have been taken out of their familiar environment, their familiar routines. And for those with a borderline mental health situation, it has unfortunately, in many, many cases, made a manageable situation unmanageable. And then, of course, there's the whole area of domestic violence as well. We're very aware of that because it gets an element of exposure in the media. But what isn't exposed sufficiently is the fact that domestic violence cases have increased significantly since lockdown. Because when people are confined, perhaps people on limited incomes who are in limited accommodation, confined to small flats, apartments, very often in inner city situations. I mean, they are at a much greater disadvantage than people who have the luxury of enjoying large gardens and the ability to get out and enjoy in an uncongested environment. And then, of course, there's a whole economic impact, the interference with running businesses, the interference in people's livelihoods. I mean, if I were in a situation where I had to make somebody redundant, I would think very, very carefully about that because I'm not only impacting on that person, I'm impacting on their family. If I were to make two or three people redundant, I would certainly, certainly think about that in exceptional detail. The moral responsibility, the unforeseen consequences of ending a person's employment. But in NPHID's case, they seem to be able to make hundreds of thousands of people unemployed, wiping out businesses, often family businesses, small businesses that have been worked up through generations. Many of those will never, ever open again. And there seems so little thought and total absence of apology and so little explanation for what was actually happening. There was a time when I thought NPHID could be reformed. I thought, for example, there could be a mental health expert added to the board of NPHID, and a cancer expert, and a domestic violence expert, and an economist. It's too late for all of that. The damage is done. It's time for NPHID to go and to be replaced by a proper peer-reviewed and properly qualified people who can shoulder the responsibility of navigating us through COVID. What do I mean by that? Well, the skill set with NPHID is very, very narrow. That's the first thing. And not only is it very, very narrow, many of the people on NPHID are not appropriately qualified for the decisions that are being made. And that's an important point. And secondly, just the whole concept of conflict of interest. If you served on the board of directors, say, of a charity, you're obliged before each board meeting to disclose any vested interests or any conflicts of interest. But yet, in NEFID, that does not happen. We're aware that there are people closely associated with NEFID who are associated with economic activity around the whole area of SARS. Are there people with fingers in a vaccine pie, for example? Are there people getting grant aid from various pharmaceuticals that might be involved in the whole treatment area around NEFID? These are things, there's nothing wrong with that, I hasten to add, once it is disclosed, once it is transparent, once it is put out there and we don't have to stumble across it. How can you have confidence in a group of people if you feel some of them may have other agendas? And that's a problem. And that can only happen when there is true transparency, when people declare their economic interests and their other areas of their professional life as well, just to make sure that there are no conflicts of interest. Also, NEFID is out of step now with international best practice. Let me be clear about something. At the very beginning of this pandemic, way back in March of 2020, like all doctors, I was worried. It was a new virus. I knew very little about it. And I was very, very supportive of NEFID. And I agreed with everything because at that time, it seemed to be what was happening internationally. But then as time went on, our knowledge of the virus increased. We understood more about its transmissibility. We understood more about the inadequacies of masks and the absolute essential nature of hand washing and basic Victorian public health measures. But the science, we've been told we have to go with the science, and we were going with the science, but the science has moved on and NEFID has not moved on. And that's the point I'm trying to make. NEFID has not moved on. It is fossilized. The advice that it's offering is the same advice that was offered over a year ago. We're now told about new variants, dark clouds on the horizon. If you approach it in that vein, the cycles of lockdowns will become endless. We have to learn new ways of living with the virus. We have to learn and put together an exit strategy. And we don't have an exit strategy that's any way credible. We were told that we will open up to some extent on the 5th of July. And now we're told perhaps that will not happen. We need a few more weeks to hang in there while the vaccines kick in. I mean, at what point have we sufficient immunity to allow the country to fully open up and people to get back to their normal life, to their normal employments? NEFID is out of step with international best practice in the rest of Europe. I saw a few nights ago, there was a football match in Denmark. 40,000 people were at that match. Many of them had the antigen testing before they went into the match, and I believe that was done in batches, and also in Texas and in Florida, in the United States. Also, many, many social events are up and running as normal, but that's not happening here. And the reason for that is, NEFID are in effect the government. Our Taoiseach, to me, seems like a spokesperson for NEFID. He runs the messages from NEFID to us. And that's not acceptable. That is weakness. We need strong government, not weak government. And we have weak government, and weak government allows tyrants to thrive. I say in no uncertain terms, as somebody who's thoughtfully looked at this, followed this in great detail, both as a person, as a citizen of this country, as a doctor with a higher qualification in public health medicine. I am very, very dismayed at the way the COVID has been handled. I mean, for example, and while acknowledging every human life is enormously precious, but the reality is, the average age of death from COVID is 84 years of age in a country where the average life expectancy is 82 years of age. Any schoolboy with any knowledge of maths would spot that as being a bit odd. Recently, two coroners spoke out in Ireland, in Kildare and in Mayo. And in fact, both of them pointed out that many, many people have died with COVID, not because of COVID. In other words, a person might have serious comorbidity, terminal cancer, terminal heart disease, so on and so forth, pulmonary disease, and they're unfortunate enough to get COVID and they die with COVID. And COVID might have had some input into their death, or it may not have had, but their death was coming anyway. And they are recorded as a COVID death. It's very, very rare for somebody under with no comorbidity, normal, healthy, ordinary people to be adversely affected by COVID. But some are, a tiny minority are. In every walk of life, there is risk. Living is not risk-free. And we have to realise that. And it takes strong government to be able to state that, to be able to rein in extremists who view things from one point of view only, be it public health or whatever else. It's necessary to put balance, to put proportionality, to put some joyfulness, to put some sort of us all working together as a nation to get through this. And NPHET, in my opinion, has been a stumbling block. It has prevented, through debate, it has prevented collegiality between doctors in trying to form opinion and trying to give navigate with various other points of view. All of that doesn't happen. A small number of people have taken it upon themselves to give the authorised version of what should be done, and no other version is acceptable. And weak government row in with that. And in my opinion, that is not acceptable in a democracy. So my solution, abolish NPHET now. Thank you for having listened.